course of the stories which we recently were relating about how Rav Boruch, the father of the Alter Rebbe, became a chosid of the Baal Shem Tov, it was related at length how Rav Boruch would spend Pesach time for many a year at the home of Rabbi Yitzchok Shol, the smithy. And at that time it was mentioned that Yitzchok Shol would tell him various stories about the history and the development of Hasidus. And one story, which was a lengthy story, and because of its length, I mentioned we would leave for another time, is the story of another Boruch, the Boruch Vyazner. And this time, today, and in the following installments as well, we will tell the story of this Rav Boruch Vyazner and how he became a chosid of the various Baal Shem Tovs up to and including the Heilige Rav Yisroel Baal Shem. Rav Boruch Vyazner was the son of a certain Rav Yosef who came from a small town near Vilna by the name of Ilya, which was the name of that town. From his earliest childhood, this Boruch made a name for himself as an Iloi, a gifted student who applied himself with zeal to his studies. When Boruch became Bar Mitzvah, Boruch's father, Rabbi Yosef, took him to Rabbi Elchanan Zolkover, who was the head of a famous yeshiva in Slutsk at that time, and who had previously been a brilliant pupil of the well-known Gaon Rav Shachna of Lublin. When Rav Elchanan Zolkover tested young Boruch, he was amazed at his brilliance. And despite the fact that Boruch was only of Bar Mitzvah age, Rav Elchanan placed him in a class with his older pupils, many of them who were already scholars of note. Rabbi Yosef was in the seventh heaven of delight at having his son accepted by Rav Elchanan. He left his son at Rav Elchanan Zolkover's yeshiva and returned to his home in Ilya. Rabbi Yosef had provided his son Boruch with a whole sack full of bread and plenty of hard cheese so that he would have enough to eat without having to depend upon the support of the yeshiva, as did the other students. When Boruch finished all his stock of bread and cheese, he made up his mind that he would go out and earn his keep. He made a practice of going regularly into the woods near Slutsk, chopping up wood and tying them into small bundles. These he would put together on his shoulders, bring them into town, sell them, and live on the money that they brought him. Boruch became one of the outstanding scholars at the Slutsk yeshiva, not only in his studies, but also in beauty of character. No one ever saw him in a temper or even with a raised voice. And in his business dealings as well, he was fair and even more extremely generous. If his customer chose to beat him down in price, he accepted it without a word, thinking perhaps his buyer could not afford to pay more. And whenever he knew that people were too poor to buy any firewood, he saw to it that they had a regular supply, for he would bring it to their door and leave it there, going away before they would realize who was their benefactor. Boruch was entirely different in his behavior from all the other students at the yeshiva. While they were all too glad to find a comfortable home with some family, Boruch chose the Beis HaMedrash as his quarters, and that is where he lived. And while the other students made friends with each other and paid friendly visits to others in the town, Boruch kept strictly to himself, rarely speaking to anyone. That is how he became known as the Silent Boruch. Boruch's at the Slutsk Yeshiva for 2 years before he returned home to Ilya. He returned, however, on the sole condition that he be independent, for he had made a vow not to have his father support him any longer. He felt that he should be able and ought to earn his own living, and this he would do with Hashem's help, although he was but 15 years old, by the toil of his own hands. After Baruch had stayed home for a comparatively short time, he decided that he would like to go to Vilna. Vilna, at that time, had a name for being a center of Torah and Talmidei Chachomim, Torah scholars, and Baruch felt that he could learn much from going there and drinking at the source. Now, although geographically Vilna was not so far from his little hometown of Ilya, it took Baruch quite some weeks to get there, for he made the journey on foot, earning his way along by stopping at the townlets and villages through which he was passing and taking on whatever job came his way. Thus it was that Baruch finally reached his goal. He came to Vilna. Baruch approached Vilna with his eyes full of eagerness and his heart full of hope. Vilna made a very deep impression upon the young, devout Baruch, but he stayed there only 3 months. For while he felt drawn to this Jewish city because of its Torah scholars and God-fearing Jews, he did not find it easy to make a living along his principles. Though he was, of course, determined to support himself by the work of his own hands, Baruch made it a rule never to take over a job that he felt someone else needed more. And as the Jews of Vilna were in the main poor, Baruch found it increasingly difficult to earn sufficient for even his modest needs. Baruch decided to try the nearby small town of Terekia, where he hoped he would be able to settle without difficulty. But after spending a short time there, he found that while the Jews were good, honest, and hard-working people, they were not Torah scholars, and he felt that that was a condition he could not do without. And so, Baruch again packed his peckle, he packed his bags, and away he went on the road to find what he was seeking, a center of Torah where he could earn enough to keep him there while he continued with his Torah study. After months of wandering from town to town and from village to village, Baruch finally reached a place called Viezhin, where he heard that the famous Gaon Rav Shaul had a yeshiva which was known everywhere as one of the best yeshivas of that period. A mile or so outside Viezhin, he learned of a widow who was looking for an assistant on her farm. Baruch called on her, and she offered him the job of taking her dairy produce into town twice a week and bringing back goods that she required for a small store that she kept there. Baruch accepted the job gladly and found that he was earning enough even to put some cash by for emergency purposes. This was naturally after he had given a goodly proportion of his earnings to tzedakah. Baruch was very pleased with the yeshiva where he studied and had made some very fine friends. Two of the students in particular became his close friends, one from Brisk and one from Pinsk. But more than anyone else was the impression made upon him by an old man named Lippe Wolf, who stayed at one of the two Bote Midrashim of Viezhin. Baruch used to stay at the other Beis HaMedrash until he made Lippe Wolf's acquaintance. And when he did, he moved over to Lippe Wolf's Beis HaMedrash so that he would be near Lippe Wolf and benefit from his contact with this old man who greatly admired and wished to emulate. Baruch was quite happy with his new surroundings and would certainly have stayed on in Viezhin were it not for something that occurred to him that winter which sent him flying for dear life. It was a bitter cold day once when Baruch set off from the farm, piled up with the packages to take into town. He was frozen through on arrival, yet he had to pick up certain goods which the widow required for her store. When he finally reached the farm that night, Baruch was literally frozen stiff. The widow very kindly gave him a hot meal and suggested that the weather being as bad as it was, and Baruch being so frozen through, it would be better if he stayed over at her house instead of going back to his place in the Beis HaMedrash in Viezhin. Baruch was reluctant to accept, and yet had no excuse ready for refusing. And so, when the widow had prepared a bed for him, he wearily lay down to sleep. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, Baruch awoke with a start and realized where he was. A wave of temptation assailed him, and he became hot and cold at the thoughts that came tumbling into his brain. Before he let them take a proper hold on him, he quickly ran out of the house into the ice snow, clad as he was only in his nightshirt, and rolled himself over and over in the snow, hoping it would be a tshuva, a penance for his wickedness in harboring forbidden thoughts. He then went quickly into the house, got dressed, and hurried away as fast as his legs could carry him into the refuge of Viezhin and the Beis HaMedrash. Baruch did not return to his job at the widow's farm, but found a new job a couple of days later, working for a villager named Elie Shloime in a village just a few miles away from Viezhin. On several occasions, Baruch tried to tell his old friend Lipovolf of the night of temptation under the roof of the widow. But when it came to the actual telling, Baruch remained silent, being too ashamed of himself to say anything. Baruch had pretty much the same kind of work to do for the villager as for the widow, but it took less of his time, for he had only to give 2 days for his job, and the rest of his time he could devote entirely to limud haTorah, to Torah study. Also, whereas Elio Shlema provided him with a horse and cart for carrying and bringing his wares, when Baruch had worked for the widow, he had to carry everything on his own shoulders, something which made the job much more difficult. Although his new boss, Elie Shloime, gave the appearance of being just a simple and ordinary Jew, Baruch caught him studying Gemara in the middle of the night on more than one occasion, which made him believe that Elie Shloime was a scholar but kept it secret. Baruch meant to keep an eye on Elie Shloime to find out if his suspicions were justified. Baruch meanwhile found that Torah study by itself was not sufficiently satisfying for him. He wanted to find some additional means of self-expression, which in the study of the Talmud he failed to find. Baruch once got hold of a certain sefer which caught at his imagination and which he studied with the greatest of interest. But somehow he felt that he was not mature enough to understand the depths of its contents. He did understand, however, that the book was endeavoring to teach new ways of serving the Creator, and Baruch was determined to try and find these ways. Baruch learned from his friend from Brisk that in this town there was a great goyim named Rav Shloime who directed a yeshiva there. This town was where Baruch intended to go now. When Baruch eventually reached Rav Shloime's yeshiva in Brisk, he found 60 students there, all older than he. Quite a number of them were young married men whose fathers-in-law were happy to provide them and their families with their livelihood so that they could continue with their Torah studies. It was not so much the fame of the Brisk Yeshiva that had attracted Baruch as to what he had heard of the manner of the Goyim's method of serving Hashem, of serving God. Yet though his main purpose in coming to Brisk was to meet Rabbi Shloima, he was at the yeshiva several days and had still not plucked up enough courage to approach Rabbi Shloima and tell him why he had come and of the yearning in his heart. Baruch was overjoyed to find a well-stocked library of all kinds of holy books at the yeshiva there. While in Vyazhen, three and even four students had to share a Gemara. Here, there was enough for everyone. There were all kinds of books on metaphysics, Kabbalah, and many commentaries, Rambams, and so on. No student was admitted into the shiurim at this yeshiva before being examined. So while waiting for his turn to come along his examination, Baruch, together with the other new students, just listened to some shiurim and then studied on their own. The little room which served as a library was a positive paradise for Baruch. There were two windows in the room, one of which overlooked a garden. Here it was where Baruch sat during every spare moment he had and quenched his thirst at the fountains of knowledge revealed to him in the many books he delved into. Many of them he had never heard of before. Two books in particular held his attention and made a deep impression on him. One was a sefer by Rabbi Kletz, stressing the importance of negina, of music and prayer, and the second sefer was called Reishis Chochma by Rabbi Leo Divadash, which explained how one should purify one's heart and ennoble one's character in order to worship Hashem in the most proper manner possible. One day, as Baruch sat at the window of this little room, engrossed in studying the Sefer Reishis Chochma, Rabbi Shloima entered the library looking for a Sefer. He beheld a young lad so lost in his studies that he even failed to notice that anyone had entered the room. Suddenly Baruch was startled to hear a voice saying, "Who are you, young man, and what is the book that you are studying so intently?" Baruch looked up and began to tremble, for he was facing no less a person than the great Goyim himself, Rabbi Shloima, whom he had come to see in his travel into Brisk. Baruch had been deeply immersed in chapter 14 of Reishis Chochma, where the subject of Yiras Hashem, the fear of God, is dealt with. There was an interpretation of the verse, and Moshe said, "This is the thing which Hashem has commanded that you do, and the glory of Hashem will appear to you." And there the interpretation was given in Reishis Chochma that Moshe told the Jewish people that they should eliminate evil from their hearts and feel awe for the master of the universe. They should all have but one thought, one ideal, and that is to serve Hashem. For as He is unique in the world, thus must your service be to Hashem Himself. The Reishis Chochma submits that there are two divisions in a man's heart. One is for the Yetzer Tov, the good inclination, and the other for the evil inclination. That is why, even in good deeds, there is a part that emanates from the evil inclination. Thus, it is the duty of each and every person to purify his heart until all evil is eliminated, so that his service of God is completely pure. It was this which so absorbed the attention of Baruch that he failed to notice that the Gaon had entered the library until he was directly addressed by the Gaon, who asked him, "Who are you, young man, and what is the book that you are studying so intently?" The response that was given by Rav Baruch and the continuing saga of Rav Baruch, and particularly of his meeting with Rav Shloimeh Emir Tzashem, in the next installment.